This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Giving you all you need to know. Power Business with Sfiso's Kanjada. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
It is 37 minutes after 6 o'clock, Paulus, and of course, we're picking up such an important conversation as well, where we are reflecting on employment equity fines are on the cards for JSE-listed companies, of course, if they don't adhere to, I guess, the employment equity imperatives for the economy as well. And so we are chatting to Mayor Aggie Moiloa, who is, of course, coming through from the Department of Employment and Labour. And she's, of course, the Deputy Director, General Inspection and Enforcement Services at, of course, the Department of Employment and Labour. Good evening, ma'am, and welcome to the show.
Good evening to yourself and the listeners, and thanks for having me.
No, an absolute pleasure on our side. And of course, we are hearing that an employment equity fines may be on the cards. Maybe walk us through.
Absolutely. We are doing the second round on JSE-listed companies. About 2 or so years back, we did the first round, and we subjected them to various forms of inspections in the space of employment equity. We've got different types of inspections that range from looking at testing procedural compliance with the Employment Equity Act, substantive compliance, as well as after the plans are approved, because we subject plans also to some rigorous exercise to test their viability and feasibility thereof. And after some time, we give companies time to implement what they themselves would have committed to do and do some reassessments. And in instances where we find that when we do reassessments and monitoring, there's still non-compliance and you don't see a willingness or commitment to change the complexion of employment equity across all the occupational classes, then we refer for prosecutions wherein penalties will kick in. Now, these range from an amount of 1.5 million up to 2.7 million, or we look at a certain percentage of the company's turnover. So, whichever will be greater,
sure,
will be the one that will be implemented. Yeah.
And I mean, you know what we are seeing, of course, coming out of that 2021-2022 financial year review period in context of the Employment Equity Act is that only 6% of the companies there are compliant, and 96%, I guess we've also seen, should that be 94% coming through for non-compliance in the context of that? And maybe just reflecting on that, also maybe give us a little bit of a definition of this, the two forms of compliance. You've spoken about procedural compliance.
Okay.
What is that, and where are we finding the biggest nodes of non-compliance as well?
All right. First of all, with regards to the statistic that you've quoted, we've conducted in excess of 1,400 employment equity inspections generally. So it wouldn't be necessarily in JSE-listed companies. So it was just a general. And we found that the non-compliance was at 94%. Actually, three of the provinces had zero compliance. Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, I think Northwest as well, which is pitiful given the fact that the Employment Equity Act was promulgated in 1998. And to date, we've got very, very little to show for it. We pick up huge resistance where companies and workplaces are okay with the status quo and they're okay just to continue with business as usual. And when you look at the greatest areas of non-compliance, you'll find that in some instances, there wouldn't be even employment equity plans to speak of. So if you don't have even a plan,
how do you?
How do you move forward? You find that sometimes there's even a failure to put together local Employment Equity Act consultative forums because the law prescribes that you should have a forum in place that is going to sort of be the vanguard and make sure that that which the company has committed to doing is done. So the complexion of the Employment Equity Forum should be a mirror image of the various demographics in the country, as well as you should. I mean, what I want to say is that the Employment Equity Forum must be a reflection of how your workforce is comprised. For instance, there must be somebody who's there to represent the interests of designated groups, people that are living with disabilities, African men, and so on and so forth. So, by and large, you find that it's mainly just a tick box exercise, where you find it's just compliance on paper. And that takes me to the question that we've asked, the forms of employment equity inspections that you conduct. We've got what you call a procedural inspection. Now, by its very nature, this type of inspection will look at whether on paper are you complying? Do you have a plan? Is your plan feasible? Do you have a forum? Have you appointed an employment equity manager at the right place? Because sometimes you find that even people that are appointed to champion the whole employment equity environment are just people that are not even given resources to sort of transform the company itself. So at procedural level, it's mostly just entry, you know, just to look at the procedural requirements. And then we have what you call, we call a DG review or the Director General review. That's when we look into the substantive nature of your compliance. Are you moving as far as the representation in various levels, your top management, senior management, middle management, and so on? And if there's no movement, have you gotten into a conscious exercise of determining what the barriers are, and are you dealing with those barriers? And then thereafter, if we feel that your plan is viable and you've got at least an appetite to move, we approve your plan, we give you an opportunity to implement, then we go back, same companies, to check, to monitor. Now we call it a monitoring inspection. And that's where we'll go and check the degree to which you have implemented that which you've undertaken to implement.
Sure. So, and I mean, I, you know, and of course, I know that there's been quite a bit of work that's gone into, you know, the Employment Equity Amendment Bill from 2018, etc. But it's been a big question around finally giving the department teeth. I mean, you know, you go to the likes of Iceland, they've legislated and they've kind of made it, kind of, you know, put legislation in place, for example, for gender pay parity, where any corporate is found to not be paying, you know, people of opposite genders who are equally qualified the same amount, then that already immediately they're subject to, you know, fines, et cetera, and a whole lot of other punitive measures. How do we translate and get to a point where we really have, you know, good teeth in the context of the pieces of work we are putting in that EE Amendment Bill?
I think we've got some mileage to cover. But remember, there's a whole value chain. So it's good enough from an inspectorate point of view to pick up areas of non-compliance and then we refer for prosecution. The one weakness in the law is that it doesn't set a minimum penalty. It only sets maximum penalties. So you find that it becomes then the discretion of the courts. What is it that they're going to be putting as a penalty? Some of it has been ridiculously lenient. You'll find a big company will be fined just about 250,000, which is just a slap on the wrist. So from my side, you could do what you're supposed to do. Like you rightfully said, our law, our Employment Equity Act has been amended. And one reason why we amended it was that it sort of had that voluntary connotation to it and not giving the minister enough power to sort of drive the whole issue of setting sector targets. So it was left up to companies. They will tell us that this is the degree to which you're going to be moving and it's going to take, I mean, we'll give them a period of 3 to 5 years depending on circumstances and so on. And so some of the amendments that have kicked in are meant to give us a certain element of teeth. Mm. Having said that, however, we also have challenges when it comes to our own muscle in terms of going out there and making sure that we flood the space as much as possible in terms of capacity. So we're still building the capacity in terms of the inspectorate. Our inspectors are specialists in nature. Mm. So your employment equity inspectors will focus in that particular area only. And until recently, we had really very minuscule resources to deal with. And I mean, you take the point that resources will never be enough, but you've got to have a certain reasonable number. There are guidelines out there. The International Labour Organization does provide some guidelines in terms of what should be the ratio between inspector and workplaces, or ratio between inspector and employed people, your economically active population. So we have a long way to go, and I think at the inherent or at the core, when the laws were brought in, a lot was put on goodwill that employers would be willing to transform, and it was a rude awakening for us that this is not going to happen voluntarily.
Nice.
When it does happen voluntarily, it's very, very few companies that do that. And for your information, not even one workplace was found to be compliant at the first time of inspection since the promulgation of the law, both in the private and the public sector. So I've got a work cut out.
Yeah. National Treasury, recuperate squeeze in. We want a budget, please, guys, because we want to capacitate this work that Ume Egg is doing. Thank you very much, my man. Wishing you a lovely evening further.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Power listener, Ume Egg Moiloa is a TDG looking after inspection and enforcement services at the Department of Employment and Labour. National Treasury, recuperate squeeze in, Buffett. Please, man, bakanimali. You know, so that we certainly deal with the likes of Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. We've got zero levels of compliance. I'm man, sis.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.